Welcome to the ministry of River of Life Family Worship Center. Join Pastor Bobby Rutherford Jr. as he ministers words of encouragement, words that will elevate you out of your present situation and propel you into your destiny.
But the title of the message today is, in order to reach kingdom destiny, you must be willing to change. In Exodus chapter 3, verse 1 through 14, this is what it says. It says, now Moses was tending the flock of Jethro, his father-in-law, the priest of Midian, and he led the flock to the back of the desert, and came to Horeb, the mountain of God, and the angel of the Lord appeared to him in a flame of fire from the midst of a bush. So he looked, and behold, the bush was burning with fire, but the bush was not consumed. Then Moses said, I will now turn aside and see this great sight, why this bush does not burn. So when the Lord saw that he had turned aside to look, God called to him from the midst of the bush and said, Moses, Moses. And he said, here I am. And he said, do not draw near this place. Take your sandals off your feet, for the place where you stand is holy. Moreover, he said, I am the God of your father, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob. And Moses hid his face, and he was afraid to look upon God. And the Lord said, I have surely seen the oppression of my people who are in Egypt, and have heard their cry because of their taskmasters, for I know their sorrow. So I have come down to deliver them out of the hand of the Egyptians, to bring them up from the land to a good and large land, to a land flowing with milk and honey, to the place of the Canaanites and the Hittites and the Amorites and the Perizzites and the Hivites and the Jebusites. Now therefore, behold, the cry of the children of Israel has come to me, and I have also seen the oppression with which the Egyptians oppressed them. Come now, therefore, and I will send you to Pharaoh, that you may bring my people, the children of Israel, out of Egypt. But Moses said to God, who am I that I should go to Pharaoh and that I should bring the children of Israel out of Egypt? So he said, I will certainly be with you, and this shall be a sign to you that I have sent you. When you have brought the people out of Egypt, you shall serve God on this mountain. Then Moses said, indeed, when I come to the children of Israel and say to them, the God of your fathers has sent me to you, and they say to me, what is his name? What shall I say to them? And God said to Moses, I am who I am. And he said, thus you shall say to the children of Israel, I am has sent me. Lord, I thank you for your word, and I declare a revelation to the people of this word this morning in Jesus' name. Amen. In this scripture, this is a parallel when Moses was tending to Jethro's sheep. That is a revelation, and that is a parallel of a New Testament church pastor taking care of a flock of God. Now, the flock that Moses was taking care of was not his, but it was his father-in-law's sheep. And which is the same thing as his, to be like his father's sheep. So as he was taking care of these sheep, he was taking them to the back side of the mountain. Why was he taking them to the back side of the mountain? Because he was taking them to a place of where there was something fresh to eat, and something where nobody else has ever went. So he was not wanting just to repeat over the grazed land, but he was wanting to take them to the backside where other people were not willing to go. That's fine. That is the same thing we do in a New Testament church a lot of times, and just like in this house right here. If you raise a church up to be a good house, to be a soul-winning house, you feed a few people along the way, you take care of people, I shared with you guys a while ago during worship, and you just have church as usual, what will take place is this right here. You can have a church to bring people up, and about 20 years lifespan is basically how good a church is. But if that church is not willing to change, and if that church is not willing to bring people up, to undergird it, and to bring some fresh revelation to the table, in a 20-year lifespan, that church will start deteriorating and going the other way. So now what you got to understand is this right here. As I begin to looking at this scripture and seeing this thing, I think Moses was a very good under-shepherd. He was taking his sheep to the backside of the desert. They were going back there and getting some fresh grass and everything. But then all of a sudden, there was something that took place. When he began to go to the backside and there began to be a bush burning, and there was a revelation, and they knew that the presence of God was there. And what Moses said in verse 3, it says this right here, I will turn aside and see this great sight, why this bush does not burn up. But what Moses was trying to do was he was wanting to figure out the presence of God. A lot of times what we try to do in a New Testament church is try to figure out everything that's going on and not really be willing to see the presence of God move, but we have to figure everything out, and it's got to make sense in our mind. And revival will not take place that way. You can't figure it out. Yet, bless God, if you try to analyze everything with revival and why you lay hands on people up here and all of a sudden they get a touch from God and just absolutely it's a life-changing experience, you can't figure that out. It's just a revelation of God, and you got to figure out that God knows what He's doing. And whenever you realize that God knows what He's doing and you're not quite as smart as you think you are, and then you can realize, you know what, it's just time to let God be God in my life. Look what happened right here. He was trying to figure this thing out. And then it goes on down here to say this right here in verse 4. It says, so God called him aside to the bush and said, Moses, Moses. And then all of a sudden, Moses was able to recognize God's voice. And the first thing he said was, here I am. You know, whenever you get to a private place with God, you need to understand that the presence of God is there. You know, we can continue to do the things that we're doing right now in the presence of God be with. That's no problem. We could continue to do the things that God has taught us to do as a house. We got a great praise and worship team. But you know what? I'm not satisfied with a good praise and worship team. We've got a great people taking care of the altar, but I'm not satisfied with people just taking care of the altar. We got a great food pantry. People come and they look at our pantry and they want to duplicate our pantry and the different things. But I'm not satisfied with a good food pantry. We got great evangelists that's leaving out of the country, out of this church and going into different cities, and I'm not satisfied with just good evangelists leaving a river of life and going and touching the city. We got good missionaries that are going in places and doing things, and right now we have in Mexico where a missionary is that was here last week. But I'm not satisfied with just them doing the same thing. I'm not satisfied with it. I'm not satisfied with me at the level that I'm at with God right now. I'm not satisfied with it. People compliment on my children. They got the mama's look and daddy's talent. Where could they go wrong? Not really. Not really. Pride goeth before a fall. That's when you know the way their giftings that they have, it is from God, because I can't carry them in the bucket, but I love them. I love to make a joyful noise. But I'm not satisfied with them having a call of God on their life without nurturing it and manicuring it and clipping and pruning the things that they don't need to get them to the next level. You're a giving church. My gosh, you're the out-giving church. I've said that time and time again. I've never seen a church give like you give. Never, ever have seen a church that gives like you give. But I'm not satisfied with where you are in your spiritual walk, God, because I know what you have down on the inside of you. And I'm not satisfied, and God's not satisfied. And what I mean by that is this right here. You say, oh, well, we just got to keep working. What God wants you to do is relax and allow Him to do what He needs to do in your life. You know, a lot of times the one thing that they try to tell you is giving birth. Not that I've given birth, but I've been there a few times when it's given birth. And they say, relax. Man, it's easy to say when you have this pressure coming on you. You know, and you know, to go to the Lamaze classes, brother, if anybody goes to Lamaze classes, I've got the very best way to make sure that the baby, that the most comfortable piece that you have as a husband, get you a real good Building Stream magazine, sit in the corner, and be quiet. My gracious. I remember when Cassie was being born and everything, and I was beginning to try to help Kim with her breathing. That's the biggest pop-out I've ever heard. My gosh, Kim was 26 years old. She ain't figured out how to breathe now. I ain't going to help her here. And so we went through this Him looking at me, you better get out of my face now. Yes, ma'am. I went over there and sat in my little corner, and I told her from a distance, please, honey. But then there would be times I'd tell her, that relax, relax. God wants us, there may be pressures all around us, but God wants you to relax. God wants you to enjoy life. God wants you to enjoy your life. You know, you go to church all the time, they tell you, everything that you do not get to do. Anybody ever was raised in a church like that? Man, I was raised, you can't do this, you can't do that, you can't do that. They tell you, everything you can't do. Well, let me tell you, I don't never want to be known as a church like that. I want to be known as a church that, bless God, tells you everything you get to do. You get the peace of God, you get the joy, you get, and there's still, people enjoy doom and gloom preaching. I don't. Yes, you've got to repent. My gosh, yes, you've got to repent. You've got to repent and turn around. But the thing about it is, there's peace when we learn to do that. But notice this right here, that whenever Moses was in that particular place on the backside of that desert, Moses was able to recognize his voice. Now, and down in verse 5, it says this right here. It says, do not draw near this place. Take your sandals off, for this is a place where you stand is holy ground. And what we need to understand is we need to realize that entering into a holy place does not make any sense in the natural. It does not. If you try to sit in your place where you're at right now and try to make everything to make sense to you, it will not. And you will leave this place unchanged. When I really began to seek first the kingdom of God, I literally got to the place, Brother Robert, where I had to close my eyes so I wouldn't look around, because I had people that was like, man, he's really getting on fire for God. But I had to literally learn to shut everybody out and say, Jesus, it's all about you. Why are people without eyesight charismatic? Can I tell you why? Because they don't have to look at the sour look on other people's faces that are looking at them. And we allow other people looking at us to determine whether we're going to worship God. We allow people looking at us to determine how we're going to act or how we're going to react to different situations in our life. But, you take a blind person, Ray Charles. I love watching Ray Charles sing. Slinging that head. And he's very charismatic about his. He's just very open. If we'll learn to be open to do the things that God would have us do, we will get to places that you never dreamed that you could get. Now look at this right here. I'm going to continue on down here pretty quick. In verse 7 it says right here, it says, I have surely seen the oppression of my people who are in Egypt and have heard their cry because of their taskmaster, for I know their sorrow. Verse 8 says this right here. So I have come down to deliver them out of the hands of the Egyptians and to bring them up from that land to a good and large land and a land flowing with milk and honey, to the place of the Canaanites and the Hittites, the Amorites and the Perizzites and the Hivites and the Jebusites. Man, that's a lot of sightseeing. But you know what he wants to do is this right here. He said, I have heard their cry. Now you listen to me when I say this. This is very important for you to catch. These children of Israel were in bondage for 400 years. Why were they in bondage for 400 years? Well, number one, it was said that they were going to be in bondage for 400 years. But you know what? The reason God knew that they were going to be in bondage for 400 years is because nobody would cry out to Him. For 400 years, nobody ever cried out. For 400 years, nobody ever really began to seek God's face and get a hunger level and realized that they were in bondage. But then all of a sudden they realized that there was something to this and they needed to get out of the bondage. And so they began to cry out. And God, He literally came down and He saw that they were being tormented and they were being agonized. And then all of a sudden He saw those cries and He said, I got to find a man that's willing to go and to release these people of the problems that they're in. You know, there's a world that's crying out. There's a world crying out that's hungry for the presence of God. There's a world that's crying out. There's families that are being torn completely apart from their lives. There are people's lives that cannot change because there's nobody willing to go touch these families. There's a cry out. There's a very famous lady that's a speaker that's world known, world famous. She is known all over the world. I can say her name, Joyce Meyer. And bless God, and she always wondered, why did God choose her to use her to preach? And some people say that she's not a preacher because she's a woman. But that's okay. But you know, the thing about it is, this woman touches lives everywhere. But when it takes place, she asked God one day, why did you choose me? And he said this right here. He said, you know, I called two other men, and they were not, it was two or three. I know it was two. He said, I called for two other men, and they would not be, they were not willing to do it. You know, what has God called you to do that you did not want to leave your comfort zone to do other things? You understand what I'm saying? What are you willing to give up so that you can see the world change? You see, if you've got a call of God on your life, and you're happy staying at River of Life, and I want you to stay at River of Life and to do the things God calls you to do and be sent out of here to go do other things. But you know what? If every one of you are here in 10 years and you're not sent out to go do and to do some other things that will further the kingdom of God, we've missed it. If we grow us a big, healthy church and got hundreds of people here and everything is satisfied, man, take care of the preacher and take care of the preacher's family, and thank you for taking care of me because you guys really do take care of us. But it's going to even get better. And so, but the thing about it is, what takes place is just right here. As long as, you know, we got a nice, fancy building and we got everything going on. But if we're doing that and not reaching the world, we're not doing kingdom work. We're doing flock work. And flock work will not see the world change. You understand what I'm saying? So now, when you look at this, look at when we go on down here just a little bit further. We need to understand people are not the enemy. We need to understand that people are not the enemy. And what God is at right here is in verse 7 and 8, says, I have come down to deliver them out of the hands of the Egyptians. That there was the Egyptian, it represents like sin, and it was more or less like a demonic place. But the people, the Egyptians, are not really not the bad guy. In the New Testament, what happens is people have a spirit, kind of like this last week, they had the homosexual deal out in California, and they legalized same-sex marriage. Well, I'm not mad at the homosexuals. I'm mad at the sin and the spirit that drives the homosexuals. I love the homosexuals. I hate the sin. And what we got to understand is this right here. People are not the problem. Sin and spirits are the problem. Now, how do we do this? How do we change it? How do we get out of this? Well, Moses had a call of God on his life. And Moses, I believe that Moses could have stayed at the backside of the desert and he could have spent time with God and it would have been fine. But Moses had to be willing to go out and to do something different. Now, let's look at this right here. In verse 9, it says, behold, the cry of the children of Israel come to me, and I have seen their oppression with which the Egyptians oppressed them. Your hunger will cause your faith to move mountains so you can reach your destiny. I want to reiterate this again. With the children of Israel, they was there for 400 years. They just thought that was a way of life. We as people, we come to church and we come to church and we keep coming to church. But, you know, then all of a sudden we just think this is just a way of life. But then what we need to understand is there's got to be a change. Would we recognize the presence of Jesus if he showed up? Would we recognize the presence of Jesus if he was here today? He is here today. Hello? But the way we take care of him and the way we do him and the way we will tell how far we can go in our destiny. Look at this right here. The enemy holds your dream and the enemy holds your vision in his camp. Let me say this again. The enemy holds your dream and holds your vision in his camp. Look when I say this. What do you want in life? Young people, what do you want in life? It's not just going to happen, but you're going to have to work for it and you're going to have to fight for it. We have raised we have raised young people up where it's just like, you know, just give it to you and give this and give that and give it, and nobody has to work for anything. And what takes place is this right here. We get comfortable. We get comfortable when things are good. I tell you what, the state of Texas, really, this area right here, the Tri-County area, is protected. We're like there has been a protection around us. Because of the simple fact that there's been so much prayer that has went up out of the Tri-County area I'm going to say about a 40-mile radius of this spot right here, that we're literally protected from what the rest of the economy is in the world. But a lot of times what we do, we get comfortable. But what we got to understand is we don't need to get comfortable. We don't need to live. We can still be comfortable and everything be great and still be in prison. And the way we get out is through a stirring up on the inside of us. And let's look at this right here. In verse 10 it says, I will send you to Pharaoh that you may bring my people, the children of Israel, out. But Moses said to God, who am I that I should go to Pharaoh and that I should bring the children of Israel out of Egypt? In order to help people to reach their goals, we need to be willing to declare the promises of God out loud in the midst of the enemy. We need to be willing to do something different. We need to be willing to declare. We need to start speaking boldly. Your pastor, he took a lot of hits about a month ago whenever this alcohol election came to pass. But I wasn't the only one. There was pastors all over this area that literally just made a stand and say, you know what? We're going to make a stand. It's time to stand up for what's right. And bless God, and what happened was this right here. A group of pastors got together, went to stirring in the spirit. And then all of a sudden it's like, no, we're not going to have that come in here. It's time to say no. But it's a time to say yes. What are you going to be willing to say yes to? When Moses, I can see him right now. My gosh, man, on the backside of the desert, here's my flock of sheep. Everything's good. I got some milk goats here. I got some things, man, I can eat, I can drink, I can be merry. I'm just so happy being in this particular place. Why in the world would I want to go into the enemy's camp and say, let my people go? Because it's a call of God upon your life. Now then, I'm really going to say something here that's going to stir people up. We have drilling all over this state of Texas, drilling for gas, and gas wells, and man, everybody's being blessed. And if you think that God only blesses you with gas and royalty to satisfy you, you have missed it. And I'm even going to go further. Find ministries out there that are doing things. You're to bring the tithe to the house. You're to find ministries that are doing things, and you're to push them to the next level. And because God has entrusted what belongs to Him into your hands to push things into the next level, to see things done for the kingdom of God. Now, I'll probably get a lot of flack if this goes on the radio, but this is the way it is. God blesses you to be a blessing. God blesses you to be a blessing. Well, why do we need to do all this stuff? You know, God, I've waited all my life for this. God has waited for years to find somebody like you that He can plant things into to be a blessing to the kingdom of God. Look at this right here. Then all of a sudden, Moses, I'm not going to read the story, but God told Moses, go. So Moses went. He went to Pharaoh. He said, thus saith the Lord, Pharaoh, let my people go. Ha, ha, ha. And he laughed at him. Went back, kept going back. Finally, he said, okay, get out of here. And then all of a sudden, he kept going back. And then finally, they were convinced, you know what, it's time to leave. It's time to get out of here. There's going to start being some changes right here at River of Life. You're not going to like them. You're not going to like them. I'm not going to like it. But in order to see change and to reach the next level, we've got to do them. It's like this right here. One day, I'm praying that God will send me a young man that I can start training up. Because when I get to a particular, when God tells me to go something, to leave, I'm going to leave. I'm not going to leave this vision. Y'all, don't get this wrong. Now, Pastor ain't just going to leave. Now, my God, y'all understand this right here. Because I got a lot of years left here. But when I get to a certain plateau, I know God's going to call me to do something else. And I want to raise somebody up that can keep running with the same vision. This is what happens in a lot of churches. You have a pastor who comes to a particular place, 5, 10 years, and with a vision and a God-given vision, then all of a sudden, poof, they run for that vision, everything's great. That particular pastor leaves, goes to another church, all of a sudden you got to start over with another vision. The good thing about this house is Kim and I birthed this out of our spirit. It didn't come from a split. It wasn't split off anything. And most of you guys didn't come out of a split. I don't think nobody here did. If you did, you need to see me because we need to talk because we need to make sure that you ain't carrying nothing with you that's cancerous. And so, but what happens is this right here. This thing is the reason it's growing the way it is and everything is taking place is because everybody's hungry for the same thing, and that's His presence. And then what we do is this right here, as we raise ourselves up. You know, there's a saying that I heard say one day, cannot reach an iPod generation with an organ. I'll say that again. You cannot reach an iPod generation with an organ. Say, what does that mean? That means things got to change. Praise and worship team, get ready for three different praise and worship teams. I'm telling you, there's going to be three different praise and worship teams. There's going to be, we're going to have two and three. And when we get to having three and four services, I'm not preaching every service. Hello? I'm not. But what's going to take place is right here. We're to bring people up and to be replaceable. You need to start raising people up. It's your job where you're at. Are you willing to raise people up and train people to replace you? Some of us don't think we can be replaced. My dad, one time, he said that he was working on a road job somewhere, running a dozer or something. I can't remember what he was running. And so anyhow, he said he felt that he could not be replaced. And he said, you know, he just kept telling, you know, his being kind of, you know, cocky. But then all of a sudden, he quit that job. He said, I'll just tell them. Shut this thing down. He said, I drove there by there the next day. It was unbelievable who they got to replace. He could not believe that he could be replaced. And he said this in a joking way. His whole point when he was telling me this was just right here. Don't never think you can't be replaced. And if you think that you're so important that you, even at your job, that you can't be replaced, you got a spirit of pride. We can all be replaced. And you may not have trained yourself to train other people, but we've got to learn to replace ourselves. Amen? That goes from the altar worker. That goes to the praise and worship team. That goes from every position that we have at the church. You've got to have a replacement. Every place. Your evangelistic team, if you go out of here, you've got to raise somebody up. Because if God calls you to do something else, you've got to make sure that that vision is going on. So that's what Moses began to do. He went, as far as, and the story goes, that he went and he was begin to bring the children of Israel out, and then he went back to Jethro, and I'm going to kind of read on. I'm not going to read the story, but I'm just paraphrasing right quick. He went to his father-in-law. He said, man, what do I do? He said, learn to start replacing yourself. Start replacing yourself. How do you do that? Start training people up. How do you do that? Start spending time with other people. Start spending time with people and replacing, allowing them to be brought up. Do you want to be replaced? See, a lot of times people don't want to be replaced because that's their comfort zone. That's their power. That's their authority. That's their, I don't want to be replaced. I want to be irreplaceable. I want to be the only one of the time. We have pastors that are preaching right now. They're probably gone by now. But that's got pastors that are preaching from the pulpit that really don't care about people for the simple fact that it's time for us to realize that there's something else going on. Amen? What do you want to do? Do you want to be a kingdom worker, or do you want to satisfy yourself? If you want to satisfy yourself, this is probably the wrong place. If you want to be a kingdom worker, it's time to turn around. Do you want to be a kingdom worker? I don't know about you, but I want to build the kingdom of God. You want to build the kingdom of God? How many of you want to build the kingdom of God? How many of you want to be build kingdom builders? You want to be kingdom builders? Let's God, let me tell you. Do you really want to be a kingdom builder? He said, man, what does this message have to do with? This message is a message for this house. Holy Ghost spoke to me this last week. I was in prayer. And it wasn't a beat-up session. He was just being honest with me. It's okay to let the Holy Ghost be honest with you. You know, a lot of times people say, oh, I got a revelation from God. Well, I got a revelation from God this week, too. He told me, he said, listen, you know, in case you guys don't know it, God still calls me Bubba. And so anyhow, I know some of you don't, but, you know, bless God, God still calls me Bubba, and I don't mind Bubba. But he said, Bubba, you're in a rut. Rut. This is the youngest, this is a thriving church in Fairfield. It's what I think. Now, I know we don't have the biggest numbers or anything, but the thing about it is, we're reaching thousands. We're having giveaways all over the United States of America. God, we're reaching over 100 nations. thinks that you're in a rut. Because you need to do.
Thank you for listening to today's message. We pray that you have been blessed and persuaded to reach for God's very best for today. If you would like more information about River of Life Family Worship Center, you can visit us online at www.riveroflifefwc.org or call us at 903-389-5433. River of Life Family Worship Center is located at 406 East Commerce Street. Join us every Sunday at 10:30 a.m. and every Wednesday at 6:30 p.m. where we are catching its vision and living its promises.